Welcome, everybody. This is the PlayStation 5, a central podcast. I give you all the news, the reviews, and the...
Why did I say I give you? It's not just me. I'm with Jordan. How are you, mate, by the way? I'm just going to roll this off. We're still going. How are you, mate?
I'm fantastic, mate. How are you? How are you? You seem a little bit, I don't know, a bit fidgety. A bit fidgety, a bit rattled. Yeah.
What was your name again? You are the...
The Gallivanting Man.
Nah, I don't like that one anymore. I like Bouncy Boy.
The Big Bouncy Boy. Because we bring you news, reviews, and kangaroomers.
Oh, we haven't heard that in a while. Now, Jordan, are you ready to get into a jam-packed show? We're going to get straight into it. Are you ready?
Yep. Absolutely ready.
We don't boot around the bush. Boot around the bush.
No, beat around
the bush. We're really flustered.
We go whenever we go near the bush, we take our boots off, all right?
So first story is there's a new PS5 coming this holiday season.
This holidays, yeah.
It is the PlayStation Slim. Is that what we're calling it here?
Well, it doesn't actually seem like it's a slim. Yes, it is slim-er, but it's just an updated model. It's sort of akin to when they updated the Nintendo Switch and the update was stuff that wasn't big enough to really market, but it was like, if it comes in a red box, this is the newer version. If it comes in like a gray box, this is the old one.
So is this going to replace the version we have now?
There's nothing in the marketing that says that it is, but the fact that it's not called a Slim, it's just the PS5, it makes me think that, yes, this will replace the original. If you think about it, Dan, this isn't a new thing for PlayStation. Think back to the PlayStation 3 when that first came out. Wasn't there about 3 or 4 different models of that original PlayStation 3 before they got to the actual Slim?
Yeah.
And they had different... The only difference, though, in that case was internals, wasn't it? Because one was a 40 gig, one was a 60, one was a 20.
Well, if you want to get the fat one, I call it the fat one, original.
Yeah.
There's actually multiple. The original was only 60 gigs or something. And then only...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, and then only a little bit later, they still had the big boy, but it had 250, I think. And then we got as you said, there's multiple versions. So
because wasn't the first original PlayStation 3, wasn't it, the backwards compatible one? And then they released a revised version that wasn't
that
backwards
wasn't.
Compatible
And I've
anymore.
Got the backwards compatible, but it's shat itself. So, and it costs like $300 to get fixed, so I haven't done that yet. But, yeah, the one that you would probably have, if you've still got the fat one, is the non backwards compatible, but you've probably got the slim now.
I had a proper slim. Yeah. I lost one of our slims when we had our house fire, and then I got a second slim. So yeah, I only had a slim because I was a late adopter.
So apparently this is going to cost $800 Australian with the HD Blu-ray disc drive and 680 digital. Yeah. I think it's similar prices to what it is now basically, but it's going to be 30% reduced in volume. In terms of the weight of it compared to the previous model.
It's a little bit shorter. So like the actual size of it, as you said, the volume was different. It is a little bit shorter and that sort of thing. It doesn't look as fat. The discless version looks a lot better than the disc version.
From the looks point of view, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of a looks point of view, the discless version looks way better. So sleek. And so slim, whereas the other one looks like the discless one, except it's just got this big box hanging off the side of it, which isn't quite as attractive.
Yeah, well, so we've also got a 1 terabyte SSD now instead of, 850 or whatever it is. So a little bit of an upgrade there. The attachable Blu-ray disc drive.
So that's for if you buy the discless one. If you buy the discless one, you're able to buy the disc drive and you change your mind later, you're able to buy the disc drive to attach.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting enough, in America anyway, it is more expensive to buy the digital one and then buy the disk drive later. So, like, whatever the difference is between the two, if you end up getting the disk drive,
right,
it's going
to
cost
you more.
So they
try and encourage you to get the more expensive one right off the bat.
Yeah. I love that this is an alternative. Do you remember when it very much seemed like diskless was going to be the future and maybe we'd get a console that was just diskless and no alternative?
I do remember that. There was a big hullabaloo about it.
It's very funny that I don't think that's a viable solution anytime soon.
Really? That's interesting you say that. Because I'm on the opposite end. I think we're getting closer to that.
Don't get me wrong. I think we're closer to it now than we were before.
Mm.
But I don't think it's next generation. Maybe the generation after. But I don't think that's a lock.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You still got those countries that need physical. Yep. So until you overcome those sort of barriers. Yep. Australia's internet has gotten a lot better over the last few years, so we could probably adapt to it. Although I feel like in Australia we have a lot of people that like to collect physical media just in general. It's kind of like a big hobby down here, I feel like. A lot of people will still go in to EB Games, JB. Mm. You're one of them.
I'm one of them.
Do.
Yeah.
Bycarth does.
I'm one of them, though, not so much for the collecting standpoint, especially with games now. It's not so much for a collecting standpoint. It's more of a resale standpoint and knowing that I'm not going to play games that are sitting around 10 years later. That's not the type of gamer I am. So if I can try and get rid of it once I am fully finished with it, especially if I know that there's a chance it's going to pop up on one of the services I subscribe to, like PlayStation Plus, like why not get rid of it now while I can? Make some of my money back and then invest it in whatever the next purchase is going to be. So I used to be quite a big collector and I still have some of my PlayStation 1, 2, 3, and 4 games, but I decided there's no need for me to have 50 games lying around that I'm definitely not going to play again.
No. No, and you can also make a bit of money back and re-put it into other games, as you said. Yeah, I mean, also with this new, I'm going to just call it a PS5 sort of slim.
Yeah,
I don't know what else to call it. It'd be very interesting to see sort of the heat because with my current one, I'm getting a lot of, I'm getting a lot of crashes. Like the console will completely turn off from being overheating.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you mentioned this last week. Mm. And our situations are quite different because you play a lot more than I do.
Because I do push it to its limits, but, you know. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, it is a part of your occupation. So your system would have seen a lot more hours than mine has. It's still surprising, though. It's still surprising because I would have thought, because we smashed out back in the day, like on our PS3
together.
Smashed them. And ours, as much as the PS4 slowed down and then we got the pros and it was a bit better, we still smashed them.
It didn't overheat. Like this.
No.
I've never had an issue like that, I don't think.
No.
So.
No. And I'm not getting any issues with my 5 either. So that is really interesting.
So will it be even worse is what I'm saying on this one. Now that it's going to be even tighter, more heat congregating.
You'd really hope not, wouldn't you?
Because if you've seen the marketing ad for this, it's hilarious. Sony's marketing is just hilarious, man. It's a 20-second video on this YouTube. All it says is new slimmer size. Same power. Hilarious, man. No details at all. Just the most simple video you've ever seen.
Same immersive power, slimmer size. I'm watching it now.
It looks the same, but it's got like a little line. I mean, it's just hilarious the way that they do this shit. But yeah, no, I buy one? I don't know, because I've got two PS5s.
A diet one and a full strength one.
Yeah, and like I don't think, it's not something I don't think I'll buy this. So,
no.
What would be the point
to buy this? Yeah. I've got no need to buy this one. And that's okay. But it's there. Yeah. Maybe this makes them more readily available. I know the stock's gotten a lot better anyway, in terms of people being able to get them, the stock levels. But if this makes it more readily available, then that's fantastic. And, you know, we need to understand that the PlayStation 5 is an obelisk of a console. The standard PS5 is ginormous.
I know people that don't want to buy it because it looks so bad. Like in their mind, it looks terrible in their living room.
Yeah.
Have you
I
come
can't
across
imagine the- ever being. I, yeah. I don't understand it because I'm not buying it because it looks good.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like I'm not, that's not what I'm buying it for. I'm buying it because I want to play the games on it.
I was hot on the look of it when we first started this podcast. And as the years have gone on, maybe it's just I've looked at it too much, but it sort of looks old now.
I like it. I do like the size of it. It is really big.
It's fucking big, isn't
it? It is really, really big. I like the look of it, though. I like that it's got a bit of style to it and it doesn't just look like a high-fangled, you know, VCR player. It actually looks, it does look high-tech.
You know it what looks I mean? Better it than the Xbox Series X. At least it's got some personality.
Is that one the tower?
Yeah. The fridge, the tower, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. I really liked it in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I'll get two together and we'll have the Twin Towers. I will say, though, if you ever go back to PS4, you'll go, fuck, I love my PS5. This thing is shit. And the PS4 was great, but once you go 5, you don't go back. Yeah, seriously.
I completely agree.
Especially load times.
Load times. You know how we say, has the PlayStation 5 been a next-gen experience? And we have our criticisms over 60 FPS, ray tracing, like wanting all of that at the same time, wanting 60 FPS, 4K, ray tracing all at the same time and not quite getting that. The truly next-gen thing for me has been load times, and we need to give a shout-out to the DualSense because the DualSense is a fantastic controller, not only in how it feels in your hand and the weight that it has in your hand, but also the haptic feedback and all that sort of stuff is unreal.
Have you gone back to PS3? We did. We played All-Stars the other day with Vikarth. Yeah. It was PS3 like a controller, toy. How shit it felt.
Yeah. It was like my playing goodness. A toy.
It felt so cheap and crap.
It did. It felt shocking. It was absolutely shocking.
It felt shocking.
Yeah.
Maybe mine.
And even.
Shit. No, I
even
got the originals. Going
back to a PS4, even going back to a PS4 controller.
Even that,
it's not as bad. It's not as bad because the PS4 controllers were still quite nice, but the PS5 controller is the best. It's so much better than the DualShock 4, better than all the DualShocks, obviously, but it's a class above.
To be fair, the Xbox 360, theirs hasn't changed much because it's always kind of been pretty good. So they've probably had the more consistent controller over the years. Because I really like the Xbox controller now, but I'd say this has a slight edge. Even though, call me crazy, I turn off the DualSense features in games. I've done that all year.
I can't believe that.
I know. I turn the haptics off. I don't know why. Yeah, I just started doing it. I don't know why. It just started to annoy me at some point. Yeah. So
I've turned the sound down on mine. I don't.
Like, yeah, I always sound. Have. The volume sound. Yeah.
Yeah, because it gets the dogs barking and stuff. Because they like, I think I was playing Resident Evil 2 throughout the year, or I was playing some sort of spooky game, and my was it maybe the Quarry last year, and all these noises were coming out of it, and it was setting the dogs off. So I was like, I can't be having this.
Look, I turned that off as well because I couldn't. Sometimes you get these comms in from characters. They'll when they call you, it'll go through that audio. And I kind of, it's hard to hear it. And also when I'm capturing footage, I don't think it actually captures that.
Yeah.
So that's another reason. But the haptics, the last game I played with haptics was Returnal, end of last year. And then after that, I turned it off. Yeah. So maybe I need to turn it back on for some games, like maybe Spider-Man 2.
I reckon Spider-Man 2.
You reckon?
Yeah, especially because when you're swinging and getting to feel the swing as you go, I reckon, turn it back on.
Remember remember Killzone 2? You played the campaign.
Yep.
Do you remember on the DualSense controller at the time?
The DualShock.
The DualShock, you'd have to turn the lever.
It's a bit of six axis.
Killzone. The six axis, turn the levers in Killzone. Yeah.
You'd have to L1, R1 at the same time.
L1, R1?
And then turn it. Yeah. Man, revolutionary stuff.
They didn't bring that one back. Did they? Is that all? Is that the only gimmick that game had? Is that all it was?
Turning the lever. Probably. Or you used to have to shake your controller as well. Maybe not in Killzone, but in some PS3 games. Do you know one gimmick that has actually stood the test of time and is worth it, and everyone laughed at it when it was announced?
What?
Do you know where I'm going with this? The touchpad.
Did we laugh at it?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I reckon if you went back and looked, people definitely made fun of the touchpad. And
now it's the map. For me, it is the map button. Maybe it's
It's something nice about it being as big as it is, where you're not like looking for it. You can sort of do it with either hand and it's easy to get to. I reckon we looked at the DualShock 4 originally and thought, what is this ungodly button in the middle of it? But now I really like having it there, and I like how big it is, and I like some of the touch features that go with it too.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you made it smaller, would it be a bit more annoying because you'd have to bring your finger up more to hit the map or whatever?
Yeah.
It's good that it's so big.
Big old first world problem, that one.
It really is. Okay. So the Slim, anyone buying the Slim, let us know. I won't be buying it.
I'd love to know if there's anyone with a PS5 who's going to buy a Slim. Yeah. Is anyone like, that thing's hot, I need it?
It's obvious. It's for the new. It's for people like Jerome and who don't have it, a friend of ours. Yeah. People like that who don't have the console at the moment. But yeah, it's not really cheaper. So that's maybe it will be eventually. Okay, PS Plus games this coming month. Gotham Knights, one year later, has hit PS Plus. I reckon one of us predicted that. I should say, not PS Plus, I should say
PlayStation Plus Extra.
PlayStation Plus Extra.
So it's big.
I know a lot of our listeners have Extra Premium. So, yeah, Gotham Knights. Also, Isolation, Alien Isolation. That's probably the game I'd recommend you play out of all these. That's a phenomenal game.
Yeah, I've really heard. I remember wanting to play it back in the day when it came out, and it just sort of slipped under the radar for me. But, yeah, if there was ever time to play it, I'd like to try and get to it.
Disco Elysium, that's one you and me want to get to one day.
Yeah. Yep. Dark Pictures Anthology, House of Ashes. I think this is one of the better ones, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah. In the upper echelon.
I think overall Dark Pictures has been a bit of a flop.
Not commercially, because they keep pumping them out. If commercially it was a flop, they would stop them. But in terms of quality,
And when I say that, they haven't lived up to the standard of Until Dawn or The Quarry.
No, not at all.
Because they're the same people, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it hasn't lived up to that, but it's not bad.
People buy it every Halloween. People will buy these games. They put them on sale. They're smart. They get a decent engagement. Numbers. And they're quick. They're easy to play.
Yeah.
There's replay value if you want it. So it ticks a lot of boxes.
Yep. We've also got Dead Island Definitive Edition, Outlast 2, Elite Dangerous, Far, Changing Tides, Gungrave Gore.
But Gotham Knights, Jordan, you don't have Extra, do you?
Yeah, I have Extra.
As your dog attacks you.
Yeah. She'd been sitting on my lap the whole time. And then I think, I don't know whether I stopped patting her. And she was like, hey, stop that. Get up here. Keep patting me.
You've got the Extra. Would this? Would you give it a crack now?
No, not a chance.
Because sometimes, like with Callisto Protocol being on PS Plus, I know a lot of people are diving in now that it's free, giving it a crack. I don't know how many are sticking with it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Gotham Knights will see a rise in player base.
Play Gotham
now.
Knights in the end?
Me? Nah.
Are you going to play it? Are you going to play
it
now?
I'm not.
No.
But maybe one day if they maybe polish it up a little bit.
It's unreal that the Batman games were the upper echelon. This is what we want a third-person action-adventure game to feel like. Like, that was the peak, and now look at it. A Gotham Knights came out to an absolute non-event, and Suicide Squad is looking grim, to say the least.
Oh, well, that comes out not long into the next year, by the way. Unless they delay it again.
We'll see.
You reckon they're going to delay it again? I don't know how much you use PSN profiles. I don't know if it's a good indication, but God of War Ragnarok has 50,000 game owners. And that came out at the same time as Gotham Knights, which has 30,000 owners. I don't know if that's a stat worth looking at.
It's definitely some indication. It just wouldn't be the only metric I'd use because, yeah, only that says 50,000 game owners, but really, look at the sales of God of War. You know what I mean? And Gotham Knights as well. Gotham Knights would have sold more than 30,000 too.
Wonder what that really sold. They never revealed that. Gotham Knights.
Never good when they don't indicate it, when they don't tell you what it is.
It was at the top of the UK charts. We always get UK data. I think it was second when it came out. That was physical. So it's so hard to know. US it was top as well. US it was second. I think the brand name probably got it over the line in sales.
Yeah. Same as Avengers, because the Avengers sales weren't that bad at the beginning either, were they?
They weren't that bad.
Yeah.
They weren't great. Okay. Did you see this story, Jordan? PS5 cloud streaming will launch for premium members this month. Streaming access includes PS titles on the game catalog, game trials, and purchases from the store.
I did hear a bit about this.
Now this probably doesn't affect us. It's more Japan.
I doubt it's coming to us.
Europe, North America. But it's basically
PlayStation Now.
PlayStation Now, yeah. It's basically that, it looks like.
So you and I and Vike have been quite critical of the whole streaming thing. And I think the sort of come to Jesus moment I had with streaming was I only really need streaming if I'm going to play it on something other than my TV. So we all sort of don't mind the idea of the PlayStation Portal, from what I remember. Vike and I were sort of on it, but you sort of keen to try it at least.
Yeah, I was keen to try it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm keen to try it because I like the idea of someone else is using the TV. I'll just play it on the little device while they're watching the TV and I'm there. If I've got my PlayStation set up to a TV, I don't understand why I would want to stream it. If my PlayStation can run it, why would I want to stream it?
These are the questions of the universe.
Are you with me? Like, do you get what I mean? That's not apart from the fact that it's included in your subscription there, but am I really going to want to just go, I'm not going to buy it because it's in my subscription. So the sacrifice I'll make is the performance because it's not going to be the same as if I owned it. Does that make sense?
They're trying to push to a world where it is streaming and there is no download. That's the world that we're heading in, Jordan, and they're trying to get there because this is going to have 4K resolution streaming for select titles as well. Now, it's not coming to Australia, as we said, it never does, but it will be coming to Japan October 17th, Europe 23rd, North America the 30th. And they plan to have hundreds of games available for the streaming down the line. There's a select few at the moment from the game catalog. There's a couple of screenshots out there if you want to look into it more. Yeah. But
they're all right games that are coming.
Wouldn't this be a natural fit with that PS Portal, possibly?
Yeah, you would think. But with the Portal, you can also play games you own and then like games you have downloaded and then stream them to the Portal. I see what you're saying. So if you have the Portal, now I see what you're saying. So now if I'm like, oh, I have PlayStation Plus Premium, I have my PlayStation Portal, I'm going to sit on the couch now and stream Horizon Forbidden West.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Right. That I can see. If you don't have a Portal, though, and have no interest in remote play, I don't see, for me personally, I don't see that as a benefit. I'm like, nah, not for me.
I know people would love to see this compatible with the Backbone. You know the Backbone for the iPhone and that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not sure if that will be. I know they did partner with Backbone, didn't they? PlayStation, they had their own little version.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've got it, sure actually. Should know I've got it.
Yeah, you should know.
I obviously don't use it. Obviously using it a lot. Is this their justification of the price hike of last couple of months?
Yeah, adding some value to it, unless they're constantly doing it. So maybe they'll keep is this a thing where they're going to keep adding stuff and then they'll go to a price hike and go, look at all the stuff you've got, and then they're just going to keep adding to it and the price will keep on going up? Yeah.
Well, we don't even know if this thing works well, so let's wait till it comes out. Yeah. It could be shoddy.
I'd like to see some anecdotals of it. Do you think we're getting the portal here in Australia? I know we're not. You're worried now? When it comes everywhere. Well, the fact that this streaming stuff isn't coming to Australia and like there was no date included in this for the PlayStation Plus Premium, there was no date for Australia.
Well, the thing is, we're such a small market that we'll only get it when they know it'll sell. So they're going to see if it sells in the US and then expand from there, I would say.
Because we never got a taste of PlayStation Now at all. So I'm a little bit worried now that the portal's not going to come.
Well, actually, it's probably our net's not good enough.
Because
standard net down here, I don't know what your net is, but it's like 50 megabytes. Yeah,
I think mine's about 50.
That's not enough, I don't think.
No, not enough to do 4K. But if you're doing PlayStation Portal stuff, it doesn't do 4K. You don't need it to do 4K.
You reckon it'd be all right? I don't know.
Well, it's all right on my iPad when I've done when I've done remote play.
Have you used PlayStation Stars? Have you dived into that?
Oh, gosh.
I've been diving into it.
What a disaster that is. That is not for me at all.
Well, let me tell you, I had 20,000 points or whatever it was. So I ended up buying $80 worth of credits. So now I can buy a game for free.
Really?
One game after, I don't know how long it's been out, but yeah, I got enough to buy one game now, basically.
Is this the thing on your phone?
Yeah, you know how when you buy games and when you play certain games, you'll get these collectibles and these points?
Yeah,
I was just fiddling around with it and I had 20,000 gold points, whatever they're called, and I could redeem. I could either redeem certain games, I think, Disco Elysium. Or something like that, where you could buy it for a certain amount of credits. But I just chose to get the wallet credits so I could buy whatever I want. But yeah, I had all these collectibles. I don't know how. I don't ever go for it. But yeah, I don't get what are the collectibles for? Because you can't.
It was
their play on sort of NFT.
NFTs, it was.
Sort of thing. And now it's. Because you can't sell them, you can't do anything with them. I wouldn't even know how to look at yours.
I don't know, but I don't even know whether you can.
I don't think you can.
No.
They did add a cool feature though on the actual UI, the PS5. If you go to your profile now, and this was months ago they added this, but I only just saw it, where it shows your top three games in terms of played.
I do like that. That's
I could you know see what? Yours,
do more
mine.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. So unless you hide it, yeah. Mine were all Call of Duty, but basically Warzone, I think.
Yeah.
Which we're going to talk about now. With Call of Duty, might I add that we talk about it a lot here on this podcast. I know some people might think, well, isn't COD just regurgitated every year? And, you know, we always talk about NBA regurgitating, being a scam, FIFA, bit of a scam in terms of the microtransactions. I wouldn't put Call of Duty in those camp with those.
I don't either.
Would you?
I don't either. No.
They're not in the same stratosphere.
And there's a few main reasons that they're not the same. With NBA and stuff, yes, there is some updates and stuff every year. And I'm not just talking rosters and that. There are certain features that are added, certain gameplay tweaks and that sort of thing. But the core thing is pretty much the same. With COD every year, because they're made by usually a different studio, each one has its own feel. Mm-hmm. And that means that it's not just there's a similar formula that goes into it. Not every COD feels the same.
No.
Like I can't think of two CODs that feel the same at all. And a lot of them look vastly different as well. At the end of the day, like you're playing Team Deathmatch, it's the same as Team Deathmatch in another game. It's the same as Team Deathmatch in another game. But because of the way that the maps are all different, because of like the different game speeds and the times to kill, it does turn out to be a different experience. Is that sort of where you're going
That's
with
exactly
it?
Where right. head's at as well? You've put it perfectly.
Yeah.
They're completely different. And also, you've got the story modes and the new characters a lot of the time. You're always getting fresh characters. One year you'll get zombies, one you'll get spec ops. Whereas NBA, it's very similar modes every year.
Yeah.
You know, it's they try their hand at story mode. I think they did one good story in the last 5 years, NBA. I think Idris Elba was in it.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was the coach. I don't know if it was good. I never played it, but and you know, their microtransactions in those games are a lot worse than COD. When have you ever had to pay $100 to be competitive in COD, Jordan?
Online? Never.
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 You have to do that every year if you want to be competitive in some NBA.
And the worst bit is, from what I've heard from people who play NBA online, the netcode is really bad, or it's not where it should be. From what I've heard, a lot of the time that people go in and play, and you can get good games, but from what I'd heard from people that like work and stuff that have tried playing online, they've had really bad connections because it's not the same, because it's not the NBA experience you want to have is that one you have when it's just your system it's got to worry about and the timing's perfect and that sort of thing. And when you go online, it's never going to be really perfect.
Yeah, I have heard that too. Call of Duty netcode's been pretty good the last few years, I would say. Yeah, even for this beta we played, it was pretty good, don't you think?
Yeah, I didn't have connection problems. Nah.
The biggest problem I have with the beta is the skill-based matchmaking. That's the only issue I have, but that's every year, and it's time to get used to it.
Yeah.
Because they've done it for years now, years and years. And it's obviously, they've obviously got the data, and it says people play more when we have this on rather than off. It's simple. Because there's more bad players than good, let's be honest.
There is. Oh, there. Yeah.
So, you know, if the bad players are constantly being shat on by the top 5%, they're just going to leave.
Yeah.
So the top 5% will always suffer.
Yeah. I feel like my thing with that theory, though, is, and I'm not saying that you're wrong, because that's clearly what they're working with. It's clearly what works.
Yeah.
I'm like, wouldn't it be better if you had like that top 5%? And I'm by no means in the top 5%.
No, I'm probably not either.
Like, wouldn't it be better if that top 5% was just like lightly spread through everyone? Because I don't mind coming up against some FaZe Clan wannabe every few games. Yeah. My issue is when you're playing against them every game.
No, but they do that, Jordan. So every 5 games they'll put you with an easier lobby.
Oh, really? Is that the way it works? Yeah,
that's the strategy. They'll throw you in with an easier lobby every now and again, and then you'll be with your threshold. Then you'll get a low. But there's a way to get around it if you're with friends that are all bad and you're good.
Yeah,
that'll lower.
Yeah, lowers it. Does it go?
But that'll also piss off your friends because they'll be with players that are higher than them. So it's one of those things.
Yeah. I just feel like it worked. It works better for the gamer, I think, when you're just matched by connection and not by skill. And obviously connection does play a factor. There's some sort of balancing that goes into connection and skill. I don't know.
Here's the thing.
I never played COD to play it competitively though. Like I liked it for, I don't enjoy it. Yeah, casual. I don't enjoy it as much anymore when I feel like I've got to play like I'm on the MLG main stage or whatever just to try and go positive.
I don't mind playing against a really cracked team in S&D where I've got a lift to beat these assholes who are a full team of six and we've got to really work hard. And then when you get the victory, it's great. But when you, as you said, when you're playing like a free-for-all or a TDM and you just want to chill out, and you're versing these guys that are just super try-hardy, that's where it can kind of get annoying.
Do you know what the funniest thing is, though, that I hear from most players who have been playing COD? So I'm not going to say they're good at COD, but most COD veterans have been playing for 10 years or whatever. What's the number one thing they always say? It would have been an all right game if it wasn't for my terrible team. How does everyone end up with terrible teams? Does anyone win ever? Because everyone's always got a bad team.
Oh, that was true for Warzone, man. I'm telling you, I could never team up with randoms. They were always, every time, because I would play with randoms to do content, put on voices and shit, and every time I'd ask them, have you won a game, they'd say no. None of my teammates had ever won a game of Warzone.
I will tolerate team members in like normal 6v6 COD things. I will not even contemplate playing with randoms on Warzone. All my Warzone hours are literally playing with, like, we're either playing duos in a party.
Cousin,
two,
me,
trios. Yeah, I'm never playing solo. I'm never playing with randos. I refuse.
No.
I play with random 6v6 due to necessity, and that's it.
Yeah, it's not like you're talking to your team in a 6v6 format either. But what did you think of the Modern Warfare 3? The maps are sensational because they're, you know, the old school maps.
I do like the design of the maps. The flow of the maps isn't the same because the game speed's way different. You know, things have changed in 15 years or whatever since.
Well, that's what I think about Favela. Don't you think that map doesn't hold up as well?
Mm-hmm. Players have gotten a lot better. They're able to use head glitching way better than they used to. Mechanics are different as well. So, yeah, I don't think Favela's aged as well as I would have liked. Skid Row is a good map. But we talked about this during the beta as well. Sometimes the maps are only as good as the spawns. And when you're playing them, and maybe it's just that we need to learn what the spawns are like now, but when you're playing them, assuming it's the spawning system that MW2 had, it's not going to go well. So, yeah, it was nice to be back on those maps.
You know, Hardpoint, that game mode? That's a weird game mode in terms of spawning because the Hardpoint's always changing around the map. There's people everywhere. It's really a tricky one.
That one is a tricky one because it's basically TDM spawns because you're never spawning in the same spot.
Yeah.
So I did enjoy the beta. I want to play more. I don't know how much I'll play of it when it comes out. I don't know whether I'll play the beta and just have my fun with it. Are they adding any other maps? I thought I saw they were maybe adding High Rise for this weekend.
They added Rust. I don't know if you played on Rust.
No, I didn't get a chance to play on Rust.
And they're adding High Rise.
My terrible teammates. I got to the point where I was like, I'm sick of playing with these randos.
You think Favela, Rust is crazy, man. It is fucking crazy. You're dead within 10 seconds every time.
I've never liked those
maps. It's insane. I reckon it's worse than Shipment nearly. It's on the same level. It's fucked.
I hated when COD 4 Remastered came out and it just Shipment nonstop. I'm 24/7, like, oh my gosh, it's not even a good map.
Yeah. I know. Maps, Rust, Shipment, Nuketown. They just get a run at every COD now, basically.
Yeah. You know? So what do you think of the beta?
I like that. There's a few changes I'd like to see. The weapon, it's the UMP variant. It's not striker. Called the UMP. Striker. The Striker, yeah. It's not really the UMP, but I call it the UMP. Yeah, the Striker was by far the best weapon. So everyone, if you weren't using that, you were at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
But that's like every COD, isn't it? There's always going to be those things dying out.
That's like every game, though. There's always going to be a best thing for...
Yeah.
There's always going to be the way.
And I also like the sniper. I would get one-shot quick-scoped by snipers, which can get annoying. But then when I try to do it, I get hit markers. So what's going wrong? I'm using the wrong setup. Apparently,
quick scoping is nowhere near as much of an epidemic as it used to be, but it's still just as annoying.
Yeah,
there is nothing worse than getting 4 to 5 shots on someone and then just bloop out of nowhere. Really grinds my gears. Really, really grinds my gears. Feel like it took a while to kill people as well. Like, I was getting 6 hits on people. If in the corner when it says how many hits you got on that person, I was getting occasionally, not every time, but I would get 6 hits and then die. And I'm like, are you serious?
That's what I mean. The Striker was 4 to 5.
Yeah.
But I don't mind that feature they've added. That's new, isn't it? Where you could kind of see how many hits.
From what I remember, it's new. Yeah. It tells you how many people were shooting at you and whether you were outnumbered or not when you die.
Yeah. And that's outnumbered, and so are you. Yeah.
Always outnumbered.
Yeah, that makes you feel kind of better. It wasn't a fair fight. I feel a bit better. I think this feels better than the last two Modern Warfares. I feel like they've taken what they're known from those two and just refined it in this one. But also you can't help but feel it feels very similar, very, very similar, maybe too similar.
Yeah. Well, this is the first time as well in quite a while that we've had, because is this the third game in 4 years or 5 years?
Yeah, 2019, the first one.
Yeah, so that's why.
Well, this was supposedly supposed to be a DLC.
Yeah, we remember hearing that.
Who knows if that's true, but I mean, you can kind of see that could be possible. Yeah, I enjoyed my time at the beta. I think I put in about 15 hours. I don't know how many you put in.
I don't know how many hours. It would only be about 5 or 6.
I think I'm keen to see the Warzone map. It looks like it's going back to its roots, like Verdansk, sort of buildings everywhere, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're adding back slide cancelling and shit like that. So the community loves all that to bring it back to a bit more fast-paced Warzone experience rather than the last one, which is a bit slow. So that could be good. But that's not coming out yet. We're just talking about multiplayer here.
Is that coming out with the launch or is that going to be like a month later like it was last time?
Good question. I actually don't know that. Probably a few weeks later. I know that the campaign's being released a week early again, which I like. Yep. I kind of like that.
Yeah, give people time to play it.
Yeah. And then they drop multi, zombies. Zombies is kind of not interesting me from what I've seen from it. It's basically the Warzone map, open world zombies. It just doesn't interest me. I kind of more like a more curated experience in a smaller map with a bit of a story. This kind of seems like just go off. I don't know. Just I'm sure people will like it. It's you never played the Outbreak mode from Black Ops Cold War. It's similar to that. No. If you haven't seen that, it's
I have seen this one. It seems like it's just zombies in name, but that's it. Like there are zombies in it. It seems it reminds me a bit of the especially because of what you're playing. Was it Exodus from like Ghosts?
Exodus. I know what you're talking about. Ghosts had and that, you played, that you mode.
It was aliens.
What
was it was more against aliens instead. Because this seems like it's more than just zombies from the things that you're shooting. Like there's monsters and that sort of stuff.
Extinction mode in Ghosts.
Extinction. Yeah, I knew it was an X something. Yeah. So, I don't know. It seems
interesting. It could be like that.
I don't think I'll play it. For me, zombies peaked in Black Ops 1. And then
that's like the second iteration of zombies.
I know that people got mileage. I'm just saying for me, my interest in it peaked then. Yeah. I know that everyone else got more mileage out of it, out of that, but I didn't because I loved it. It was cool when they brought the story stuff in, but as soon as I think Moon was the tipping point at the end of Black Ops 1, where you had to do the Easter egg stuff in order to keep surviving on the map. And that wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to just hold up in one spot. If you're playing four player, let's see how long we can last here. We'll keep doing it this way. That was where my fun came from it. And then as soon as it was up, building your own weapons, like picking these things out of there, you got to go like do the monkey bomb, throw a monkey bomb down here, hope it explodes through the thing.
Too complicated.
Way too complicated. Way too complicated. Black Ops 2 had an all right balance with maps like Die Rise and Mob of the Dead. I didn't like Transit.
Did you do zombies on Black Ops 4?
No. I think Black Ops 4 is the one I didn't play at all.
Because that had a good map, the Gladiator map. That was actually a good zombies map.
Is that the one where it came out with about three maps at launch?
Yeah, it had Blood of the Dead.
Yeah, something like that. Remember that? And then the Roman, the Gladiator one was like something XI.
Or XI. And that was actually quite fun, that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the last one I remember having fun with. And that was, when did that game come out? Years ago.
2018, maybe?
2018. Yeah, it was a while ago. So that's 5 years ago since good zombies for me anyway.
Yeah.
So, but back to Warzone, with the train's now, you can stop the train. I don't know if you saw that.
That's cool. That's a cool little feature.
They've done little things like that could make it just a cool, more interactive experience around the map. So.
Yeah, it's a cool little feature. I don't mind that.
Yeah, I'm keen to play a bit more of the beta over the next couple of weeks. It's back again with High Rise. High Rise is one of my all-time favorite maps, so I'll definitely
see how that one plays now.
You spawn, you get your sniper, and you go through the corridor. I mean, everyone does it. You know, I guarantee that people will just sit there all game.
Yeah.
Nowadays. Just doing that over and over and sniping, having sniper battles.
Yeah. Who's going to be the first one who tries to get on top of the building? Remember how you used to be able to like jump across to the little like window cleaning thing?
Do you reckon you'll be able to do that?
I think so. Yeah. I'd like to think so.
I remember boosting nukes in that sort of underground area.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
On the side.
Of course you boosted them.
I know. That was I don't regret it. The
my emblem speaks for itself, you know.
Now, going on to Assassin's Creed Mirage, you'll notice we didn't cover that game. We also didn't cover Liza P. We may cover, because a few people have asked us, Jordan, will you guys be talking about those games? Look, Liza P, I won't be playing it. I just have no interest, really don't have any interest. I'm waiting for the Elden Ring DLC. That's my next fix on those sort of games. Same with Lords of Fallen. Won't be playing that. I don't know about you, Jordan. Viacar's not going to play those either.
No. Have you contemplated
Liza P?
I contemplated Liza P. I just don't think I have the time for it. I don't know whether I would enjoy it. Like, if I really thought I was going to enjoy it, I would do it. But I look back at Elden Ring and how long it took me to beat that hampered the experience for me.
Well, this is probably maybe, more of a comp to Bloodborne, but yeah.
Yeah. It's still going to be a long time. It's still a long time. And yeah, as much as like Final Fantasy is what I'm playing now, and that's going to be about 40 hours, 35 to 40 hours to beat. It's not the same as playing a Souls-like where, you know, there's not really much of a story going on. And I can't speak to Liza P in terms of story, but you know what I mean? It's more of just like gameplay and doing all this sort of stuff. I just don't know whether those games are for me anymore. They never really, like I only really have played Bloodborne and Elden Ring. So it's not like, and a bit of Dark
Souls. It's not like we're, yeah, and none of us are really fully into that genre. Like we play every one. I'm definitely not. No,
definitely not. So maybe one day, but for the time being, no. And then Assassin's Creed Mirage, no, I won't be playing that either.
Yeah, I've heard mixed about Mirage. I've heard it goes back to its roots like it intended, but it also misses the mark on several key areas.
Yeah.
So especially when everyone I hear from what I've heard that the story isn't great, that really turns me off, you know? That really turns me off. Mm-hmm. When the story isn't great, not even good. Yeah, so that's a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I agree.
But I heard the soundtrack. I've heard the soundtrack. The soundtrack's amazing. Like the soundtracks in Assassin's Creed games, they're top tier. So I'll give it that. I love the soundtrack. But in terms of the game, I'm still contemplating if I'll play that. I might play it if I get some time, maybe January, but definitely won't play it this year.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that might be me for Liza P as well. I don't really feel like we had much of an off year, maybe because I was still playing. It took me a while to finish.
I think next year is going to be a dry year.
Yeah, so maybe that's a year where we come back to games that we missed, and maybe Liza P is one of them. But Mirage, definitely not for me. Liza P, maybe.
This year's been so stacked. I can't imagine next year being the same.
Hmm.
Okay, last one, Spider-Man 2, as we said, it comes out late next week. We're looking forward to it. The story is it's going to be 25 to 30 hours to platinum, Jordan. Now there was
That's a good time.
I thought the same thing, but there were some people going, that seems so short. I'm thinking this is fantastic.
That's what I want to hear.
That's for platinum too. So what is it to beat the game, do you think? 20?
Just under 20, I reckon.
That's great just time. Under 20. I think that's a great fantastic. Time.
Yeah. I am sick of this narrative that longer games are better because they definitely are not. I would much rather, as you were saying, a much tighter curated experience than repetitive side missions and all this sort of nonsense. Give me a much tighter, and even 20 hours in that. If it's 20 hours to beat, that's still not that tight.
And that could still drag at 20 hours. You don't know the pacing of the game. We could be wanting more. Could drag. It's all dependent on the experience. You can't just look at the number.
That sounds fantastic to me.
Is there any Last of Us 2 was 20, and that dragged. That was about 20, 25.
Towards the end. Oh my god! It had like three endings, and you're like, oh, we're done. No, we're still going. And I love Last of Us 2. Depends absolutely love Last of Us 2, but goodness me, it needed just a little bit trimmed off the end there towards the finale.
You know, I thought Miles Morales was a perfect time. It was about 8 to 10 hours.
Perfect. And you know how it was the perfect time? When it finished, I was like, oh, I could have a little bit more.
Yeah, just a little bit more.
That's when you know it's the perfect time. Yeah. Leave us wanting more, not wishing it was over.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to I'll definitely platinum that.
I think I will. I know I've been on a platinum hiatus. I'll platinum Spider-Man.
Yeah, this is pretty fun platinum usually too.
Yeah. Hey, quick thought exercise for you. Just bringing this on you now.
Mm.
What's one thing you do not want to see in Spider-Man 2?
Collectibles. Boring collectibles.
Boring collectibles. So if you want to see them, do you want them to be, you know,
there has to be story? Something, maybe add some
context to a villain.
Something. Anything. Just not me pick up this photo and that's it. Even if it's a, like, we're going to landmarks or something, you know, we go to the Empire State, at least then you're going to landmarks. There's something cool about it. But just going and picking up some random piece of shit. Or, if, you know, you remember Assassin's Creed 2? You're just picking up feathers?
Feathers or Assassin's Creed 1 when it was like Saracen flags and all this sort of stuff.
It's busy work. It's busy work.
Yeah.
I think Spider-Man 1 had, was it the backpacks?
Had the backpacks, and then you had to do like the data cells for Harry.
I know you and Vike hated that. I didn't mind the data cell. I didn't like the backpacks. I don't think I liked
backpacks. Were silly because they were all on your map from the start. Were at least they? Let's get to the because that's, I'm pretty sure all the collectibles are there on the map for you, and you can just go find them. It'd be much better if you have to do something for them to be able to pop up or get to a certain point in the story.
Do you remember Miles Morales, the sound ones? They were annoying.
Yes. Oh, yeah, with the prowler, and you'd have to get to a certain point then match
that.
That
was annoying. That was annoying.
I thought that was clever. I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that.
I think they need to be more lenient on where you were. Maybe that's what it was.
Potentially. Mate. I hope...
We're nitpicking.
I hope that we don't see one of the Spider-Men die.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's much more interesting and much more exciting if you keep both of them alive, because I think it's very easy for them to go the Spider-Verse route, like the first Spider-Verse. I haven't seen the second one, so no spoilers. But the very first Spider-Verse route where, like, one of the Spider-Men dies, and that's how, like, the Ultimate Universe is with Miles. Like, the original Peter dies.
Yeah.
Or ultimate Peter dies and then Miles takes over. That's far too easy. Give us something else. Like, I'd rather see them actually go against each other or...
Well, I think that's almost guaranteed. That's my number one prediction. We're going to fight.
We're definitely going to fight. It's either going to be the second to last boss fight or the last boss fight will be us fighting.
I reckon second to last. I think you've nailed that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're definitely going to get an after credits of some sort of villain. That's another guaranteed tick off the list, because this is going to be a trilogy. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
At least it's probably more.
I'm like, who would they have left? Okay, it's very obvious who's left.
It's very obvious, It's very obvious. Yeah. And it's probably
what's one thing. What's one thing you want to see?
I want to see a lot of Venom. I don't want it to be, you know, when these villains come into these games and it's like, you put the footage together, it's like 10 to 15 minutes. No, I want an hour.
What about, like, Deathstroke from Arkham Origin?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. We don't want that. We want long.
Yeah.
We want fleshed out. You know, like Thor and God of War Ragnarok, he was in a lot of scenes. You really got to see his personality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he wasn't a flash in the pan at all. Same with Odin. Something like that. Will that happen? Probably not. But we can pray. We can hope.
Yeah. Yeah,
it'll probably be more Kraven, won't it? Probably more of him. He's probably going to have more of the screen time for the villains.
So this isn't what I hope will happen. This is a prediction, though. My prediction will be that the last boss
will be
Kraven wearing the symbiote.
Yeah, that's a pretty good prediction, actually.
Yeah, that would be my final prediction. The thing I hope to see, I feel like a broken record at this stage. I hope at some point Eddie Brock is either mentioned or Eddie Brock comes into the story somehow, even if he's just as a journalist. And then towards the end, it's sort of like, okay, this is where, because I really, really do think, I know I've said this a lot and I'll keep saying it because I really think this is where we're going. I think we'll get a Miles-esque game next. It won't be a Spider-Man 3. We'll get like a little stop jump game. And I reckon it will be Venom. I really, really do. You play as Venom. Yeah. As Eddie Brock Venom. And it's so, because,
and
like,
they've already got the gameplay from when Peter had it in this game.
Because, like, Black Suit Spider-Man will be like one, like, they've already got that sort of there.
Yeah.
But when the Venom symbiote's on Eddie Brock, it acts and behaves differently because Peter and Eddie are different people. The other cool way they could go with it is at one stage in Spider-Man 1, was Flash Thompson in there at all?
Flash Thompson.
I can't remember him being mentioned, but maybe because in the comics, Flash Thompson also was Venom for a while. So maybe that'd be a cool way to bring it in. Maybe he wears the symbiote. But yeah, I do reckon we're getting a Venom game next because it'll sell gangbusters.
No, I don't think he was mentioned in the first one, but yeah, he might be Venom in this game. Could he possibly?
Yeah. I reckon we'll see it hop across a few people. The thing is, don't concentrate so much on what Insomniac have shown us. Think about what they haven't shown us. They've shown us Peter with the symbiote for a reason. And I reckon it's because they want to misdirect us a little bit. So it's going to be interesting to see where we go.
Just be careful, everyone. There is spoilers out there. People have already platinumed the game and it's still a week to go. So you're going to get a lot of spoilers. I would suggest if you're really hyped for this game, have a blackout from social media for the next week or so, because there will be more spoilers hitting you.
Always a shame when that sort of stuff happens.
I guarantee on YouTube, as soon as that game is out, if there's death scenes, they'll be out there straight away. So just be careful. And I'm looking forward to it now. I was a bit sort of soft on the hype, but as time goes on, as we're getting closer now, looking forward to it. So that'll be fun. And then a week later is Alan Wake 2, my most anticipated game of this summer. So that'll be good. And then Modern Warfare 3 and then Avatar. So it's not a bad little end
to the year. That's a really, really fun end to the year.
Yeah. I think so. And then Game Awards, that should be good. I liked the Game Awards last year. Hopefully some good announcements. And we'll do a Game of the Year list. We'll do a few lists and we'll be off to the races.
Yeah, some predictions like we did last year as well. They're always good fun.
I need to go back and see what we predicted or what we said for this year. If we were right, that'd be a good one. But Jordan, what are you going to be playing this week before we end the show?
Well, I'm still going through Final Fantasy, so I'm about 10 hours in, so Final Fantasy 16. I am really liking it. It's got a really grand scale that I'm a big fan of. It is quite Game of Thrones-esque in terms of the political scheming that's going on. And there's already been like a twist early on that's made me go, oh, wow, okay, that's knocked me for six. Because I've heard the story goes places and there's some really really, really deep twists. So I'm on board for that. The gameplay is quite fun. I'm not normally a big fan of gameplay systems where it's just one button for like attacking, which is what this is. Because it's like, is this really comboing or is this just me pushing a button? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So have you found that? Is it getting stale yet?
No, because
okay,
as you go, you start to pick up some different elemental attacks, I'll say, and that sort of spices it up a little bit.
We'll see how you go. You're only early.
Yeah, I am only early. The story is what is driving me, though. The story is really what's driving me. It's not the combat that's driving me. It's the story. So the combat's fine. I do like the combat, but at the moment, the story is what's driving me. I really want to find out like what's happening and what's going
on. So are you with Benedicta?
I've met her and seen her,
So you're sort of around that area, Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I should say I fought her, yes.
Oh, you did fight? You did, okay. We might even do a spoiler review when you're done.
Yeah, you know? I would like to try and get through it. I'm not as far through as I wanted to be. Yeah, I will get through it. I'm not as far through as I wanted to be, but I will continue to play because I am enjoying it.
Yep, cool. I'll play the beta and I'm just going to chill out this week because next week we got Spider-Man, so there'll be a lot of content to do on that.
Yeah, boy, Spider-Man. But
it's been a pleasure to be with you, Jordan. Thank you for
your
time.
Pleasure to be with you, mate. Thank you for your time.
If we do this next week this time, Spider-Man won't be out, will it? Maybe we'll hold off a day or two. What do you think we should do? We'll see. We'll play it by ear.
See what the news is like by the time next week comes around And maybe, yeah, maybe we could do a Saturday morning one after we've had time to play, or we can do a Sunday afternoon one once we've had a weekend with it.
Yeah, we might look at doing that.
Yeah.
So even if we might get a delay next week, guys, you may see a delay in the episode, just so you know. We'll see.
Yeah, see what works.
Been a pleasure. Have a good night, Jordan. Take care.
You too, matey.
And we'll see you